In this service, let there be healing. Amen. We thank you. And now, by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, we command every spirit of disease, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, we remove you from bodies, remove you from minds. We prophesy healing in the name of Jesus Christ. We remove the spirit of destruction from relationships. We receive restoration. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's a beautiful morning. What do you think? Some of us are not sure. It's a beautiful morning for me. They start celebrating 24 years of God's faithfulness. November 17, 1995, 30 of us gathered together at the flat in Bariga. That was our house then, in Bariga, Lagos. The name of the street, Ashimawu Street. The area, Apeleyin, Bariga. It's amazing. Apeleyin Yoruba means the person that is lagging behind. Wonder why they should name a place like that, but we thank God. We shared the communion together and covenanted. We made a covenant with God because we were having the inaugural service the next day, 18th November in the morning. And it was that we would always do whatever God would require us to do, whether it was easy or hard, trusting that God would keep his own part. So here we are 24 years later. For the thousands of people that have met Jesus as Lord and Savior through the ministry of this church, for the thousands of people that came and found direction for their lives, found meaning for their lives. For the thousands that got married. For the thousands of changed lives. For the thousands of events, services, meetings that we have held. Tens of thousands, actually. Small group units, you know. Every week in, week out, all the services and so on. We say thank you. So if you were here the first year of this church, when we started at a Chinese restaurant on Allen Avenue, could not pay comfortably anymore, moved out within 4 months or so to a rundown building where there were people, you know, that had rented individual rooms and they were angry. And when we were doing praise and worship, they would turn on the volume of their stereo to disturb us. Or better still, cook. I think the aroma of the food was more distracting than the music. Thank you, Lord. I think Jesus deserves a standing hand clap and some shout and some praise. Hallelujah! We praise you, Lord! Yes! Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. Lord, we're grateful. You will not share your glory with anybody. So we give you all the glory for all that you have done that we cannot recount in one service. Take all the glory. In Jesus' name. Please, let's be seated. So the mission is still on for raising role models. We'll talk a bit more about that next week. So we're still here, 24 years later. So let's roll into our discussion for today, just a continuation of our discussions for the month on staying power. Galatians 6:9, King James Version. Special God bless you to everyone at all our centers, Oregon, Ikorodu, Lekki, Badagry, everyone online. God bless you. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 from the King James Version. Let's go. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Staying power 3. We have said that we cannot see the fulfillment of God's promises without staying power. When God gives us a promise, we've got to hang around long enough to see the fulfillment of God's promises. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 from the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It's a combination of faith and patience. In my few years as a Christian, I have seen us emphasize faith. Very critical subject, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Good. So we've defined faith. We've explained faith. We have practiced faith. I have not seen this other part emphasized as well. Patience. It is with faith and patience that you inherit God's promises. Faith and patience. See, when God says a thing, it is created, it exists in that moment. We have to always remember that it is created in a timeless dimension. God's dimension is timeless. And this thing is supposed to come into manifestation in the dimension of time. So, it's a process for it to move from the dimension of timelessness to the dimension of time. It's a process. Sometimes, the manifestation comes immediately. Sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's a decade or decades. In fact, there are things God shows you that won't even happen in your lifetime. They are foundations for what would happen in the future. So when you understand that this planet was designed to function in time, you learn to wait. You learn to wait before you can see the fulfillment of God's promises in your life. A day in God's sight is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like one day. So, by his sovereignty, he decides what the time for the manifestation will be in the dimension of time. Right. Hebrews 6:12, same verse in the New Living Translation. It says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. I like the word endurance. Because when you say patience, we tend to think that patience is a passive word. That is a passive thing. That patience means for you to stay without doing anything. Oh no! Somebody described faith this way. He said it's like for you to sit on a chair, for that chair to be removed from under you, and for you to maintain the same position. Does that take exertion or not? It does. Because after some time you will be sweating. That's why they call it staying power. Even though it is staying, it is still power. So it's endurance. The ability to hold on until patience is proof of maturity. It is children that expect things to happen immediately. It's a child that plants corn, maize today and expects it to grow tomorrow. The more mature you become, the more you deal with reality. Am I right? Patience is proof of maturity. If you are not patient, you may become a patient. I mean, you don't wait for the fruit to ripen. You eat it, you will have stomach pain. Worry is proof of impatience. It is. You want to make something happen before it's time. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, tomorrow will take care of its own things. So if you want something to happen, it's not happening yet. You see, it's never only one factor. There are other things God is working around that issue that you know nothing about. And it is when tomorrow comes that he will bring all those things together. There are people you are going to meet you don't know about. Some of them are not even ready. They've not done their own part yet. God is working so many things. So Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of its own troubles. It is impatience that makes us to run through red light in traffic. And once you make a habit of it, it's just a matter of time. It's either you will hit somebody or somebody will hit you. Overspeeding is a sign of impatience. Right? Right. Because there's a reasonable speed. Sometimes there's even a legal speed at which you should travel. But you want to get there faster. You can't wait. It's too slow. So it's not hard. You just press on the accelerator and the car just... And then you overtake everybody. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. Zoom, 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 zoom. So, as some people do that on the road, I can see them just with short distance. Sometimes it's even, I'm coming to church. I see the day star sticker. Very short bridge there. It's okay. We thank God. So, but generally speaking now, when people overtake me like that, just short distances, sometimes I feel like clapping for them. Fantastic. You won. There's no reward. No award, no money, no title. It's just vanity. You just satisfied your ego. So, yeah, I see the Death Star sticker. Very short bridge there. It's okay. We thank God. So, but generally speaking now, when people overtake me like that, just short distance, sometimes I feel like clapping for them. Fantastic. You won. There's no reward. No award. No money. No title. It's just vanity. You just satisfied your ego. So, what's the point in wanting to overtake everybody when you're not going to the same place? It's just proof you are comparing yourself with other people. But you notice this though. You overspeed, something jumps in front of you, suddenly you're likely to lose control. Overspeeding. The danger with overspeeding is that you are likely to lose control. It's the same thing with life. You run faster than God's timing. You run ahead. Your promotion runs ahead of your level of wisdom or the development of your character. You are likely to spin out of control. Patience is proof of maturity. So we've said that to develop perseverance, we need to do the following. Because now we're discussing how to develop that endurance, to develop that staying power. Last week we said, one, make sure you are pursuing God's goals. Because patience or endurance is one of the qualities that the Holy Spirit births or produces in the Christian. It's in Galatians 5, 22, 23. But for the Holy Spirit to help you, you've got to be pursuing God's goals. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28, you've got to be pursuing God's goals. Then the Holy Spirit can help you. Beyond human ability, he can bat that quality in us. Number two, we said you need to control your attitude. Control your thoughts and your emotions. And that rolls over into number three. Strengthen your confidence. Strengthen your confidence. You must win over self-doubt. Self-doubt will make you to cave in from the inside. Win over self-doubt. Remember, the combination is faith and patience. The faith has got to be there. That's the confidence. Continue to focus on what God said. What is it that can create that self-doubt? Guilt. One of the most effective tools that Satan uses to immobilize Christians. Guilt. Just focusing on our mistakes. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 from the New King James Version. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Sin. So the consciousness of sin. You're trying to pray, you're trying to believe God, Satan shows up. You. I know your secret. You did this the other time. You remember? You did this. So if God was to use somebody, is it somebody like you that God will use? After all the atrocities that you have committed in this life, and the people that were around, when you committed those atrocities, they are still around. And you see, everything Satan is talking about is what you already asked God for forgiveness for, and God forgave you. The reality in that situation is Satan is lying. Not only does God forgive you, he removes it from your record. In God's eyes, it's like you never sinned before. Any Christian that builds their identity on any fact other than the death and resurrection of Jesus will make a mistake. You can't handle Satan with anything outside of the death and resurrection of Jesus. There is no other provision for dealing with the sin issue except the grace of God expressed through the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. The price has been fully paid. Once you ask God to forgive you and he forgives you, you don't owe Satan anything anymore. The rest is lying on his part. You say, okay, what if as a Christian I make a mistake, you know? I sin, I make a mistake, you know? As a Christian, what should I do? Ask your Father for forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will, because the price has been paid. So, but what if Satan begins to use that? And that's exactly what he will do. The first thing you have to remember is this. If you sin as a Christian, you make a mistake. In the first place, the question is, who did you sin against? It's God. Is it Satan? It's not Satan. You did not sin against Satan. You sinned against God. And that God is your dad. So for him to even come into the discussion is poke nosing into family matters. Ban him. Tell him, I have no business with you. I did not offend you. You have nothing. You have nothing to do with this issue. It's between me and my dad. Then you talk to your dad. Lord, I'm sorry that I did this. On the basis of the price that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross, I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. He forgives you. The thing is removed from your record. Amen? Amen. And if you have confidence to stand before God, why can't you stand before Satan? Tell him to get lost. Once you've resolved the issue, tell him to get lost. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. That's it. They don't use natural circumstances to define their identity, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Let's move on. Number 4. How do you develop staying power? Focus on your ultimate goal. Focus on your ultimate goal. We go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. So that's it. His focus was on the end point. And for that joy, that ultimate result, he was able to endure the cross. It's your focus on the ultimate end that gives you the capacity to bear, because you know that the situation is temporary. That's why I like it when I read in the Bible, and it came to pass. And it came to pass exactly. That's a full sentence on its own. And it came to pass, not to stay, to pass. Yes. So I say that to whatever situation I'm going through, and you came to pass. You will go. I will still be here. I'm the one that will see the end of you. God has told me where the thing is going to end, so you are temporary. It's just a matter of time. So while you are around, I'll keep myself busy. He endured the cross, despising the shame. This is important. You see, whatever those challenges are, especially after God's giving you this, your grand vision, their ultimate purpose is to distract you. Avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. Stay focused. Stay focused. Satan will want to embarrass you. You know that when God shares his vision with you, it will always be unrealistic to the human mind. It will definitely overwhelm some people's minds and look unrealistic to them. And even you, when God gives you the vision, it will look unrealistic to you. So why should you be surprised that it will look unrealistic to them? And they're human beings too. So forgive them. Amen. Mm-hmm. You say what God said. Some people will look at you the second time.
are you still okay?
Oh, yeah. I was still looking for a job after my youth service when I began to brag to people. I am not a local champion. I'm a world champion. And that was not Lagos. I had not even come to Lagos. I'm not a local champion. I'm a world champion. World. It's okay. So, but as a Christian, what do? You say what God said. Amen. Whoever will say to this mountain, it's our spiritual principle. The creative power of God is in words. Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say. So when God has spoken, we say it with the confidence with which God spoke. God's word in your mouth is as powerful as God's word in God's mouth. It is the word of God. So we say it, but in saying it, we will be ridiculed. So it's people like you. So when you hear people gossip about you, it can be very painful, isn't it? That you even confide in somebody about your vision or your dream. Before you know it, two or three other people have had it. And it's in the negative. It can be painful. Don't focus on those things. They're normal. And I can tell you from experience, the very people that criticize you behind are the ones that will come and celebrate with you when manifestation comes. In fact, they would tell you, I always knew. I always knew you were going to make it. I really thank God for your life. It's okay, it's normal. Celebrate with everybody, amen. Archbishop Idausa said then, don't worry about backbiters. He said they live up to their name. They are called backbiters because they bite from the back. If you're going to attend to them, you will have to stop your journey and turn around and face where you are coming from. So you keep moving and let them continue to bite from the back. Avoid distractions. Focus on the ultimate goal. And the last one, number five, last one for today. Be part of a loving and supporting community. Be part of a loving and supporting community. If you are going to still be around, okay? If you're going to still be around 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you need encouragement from time to time. Listen, it is more predictable that you will have challenges than that life is going to be smooth for you. Am I right? If I say it will not be smooth now, it will sound like a curse. But it is predictable because this is not a perfect world. And in any case, Satan is there. He doesn't want God's plans and purposes for your life fulfilled. Locate yourself in a community where you have people that are loving and supportive. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 and 10. New Living Translation. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. The God that designed you said in Genesis 2 verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. We are created for connection, not for isolation. Have you seen a lion pursue a herd of animals before? It roars, they run. Then the lion runs behind them. And it's usually looking for one. Either one that is injured or weak, or most of the time, the one that runs in a different direction from the rest of the herd. Because the herd can kill the lion. The herd, if they turn on the lion, because of their numbers, they can kill the lion. So the lion goes for the one that is isolated. And Satan is described as a lion that roars and goes about seeking whom he may devour. don't run away from church during your time of trouble. The interesting observation I made over the years is Christians run into rough weather, they run away from church. The ones that are not Christians run into rough weather, they run into the church. Why would Christians run away? Embarrassment. We're embarrassed that even though we're Christians, especially we've been Christians for a long time, especially if we now even hold positions in the church, leadership positions in the church. You know, we're embarrassed that we have financial challenges. We're embarrassed that we have health challenges. We're embarrassed that we, excuse me, the higher you go, the hotter it becomes. Strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. It's not strike the sheep. It is strike the shepherd. It's not about you. It's about God's plans and purposes. Paul the Apostle started 2 Corinthians 12. By talking about the kind of revelations he got, he said he was taken to the third heavens. He said he saw things, he had things he wasn't even permitted to share with human beings. And then he began to discuss his challenges. The messenger of Satan that harassed him. He said, concerning this thing, I sought God's face 3 times. I prayed 3 times. He said, God responded, my grace is sufficient for you. The man that God used to write half of the New Testament had challenges in spite of all the anointings. Yes, it's because of those revelations and anointings. See? There's nothing to be embarrassed about. We need to be vulnerable. We need to be open. Amen. And to support one another. I would understand why people hide their challenges in church. Because church has now become a hypocritical place where people pretend that everybody is supposed to be perfect. Anyone that is expecting somebody's life to be perfect in church is an immature Christian. And what they normally do, of course, is to jump on other people's weaknesses or problems or challenges, you know, and to gossip about it. That's not what the Bible said. Galatians 6:1 says, if anyone makes a mistake or is overtaken in a fault, he said, those of you that are spiritual, restore such a person. That's not even challenges now, that somebody actually even made a mistake. He said, those of you that are spiritual, restore such a person. In the spirit of meekness, he said, considering yourself so that you will not be overtaken by the same fault. See? So anybody that is jumping on other people's mistakes, you remember Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, judge not so that you will not be judged. Anybody that is jumping on other people's mistakes, it is proof the person is not aware that it is the grace of God that is sustaining him or her. He said, when you refuse to extend grace to people like that, you are criticizing them. Then God will withdraw the grace that is sustaining you. So that you can find out that you are not better than them. It is just the mercy of God and the grace of God that is helping you. So you come to church, you are surprised, you know, that people are not perfect, that people have mistakes, that they still have weaknesses. You are surprised. So you go criticizing. And that, they are not born again. That church, they are not born again at all. If you see all kinds of... Then I say to you, it's okay. You are someone that came to a hospital and you are surprised that you found people there that are sick. So please, just continue your journey to the hospital where it is only healthy people that are there. Okay, so our church is not perfect. Just continue the journey. There's a perfect church. There's I will tell you where it is. There's a perfect church. You know where it is. Heaven. Just continue your journey to heaven. That's where you will find perfect. Can we be encouraging to one another for a minute? Did I hear you say amen? Can we be conscious of the fact that the Christian life is warfare? And that people will be hit once in a while. And that rather than kill our wounded, we should rather restore them back to health so that they can continue the fight. Don't run away from church. That's why in Daystar we have small groups so that we won't just count you as a number. There's somebody that lives not far from your house that can check on you, check on your state, be sure you are fine if they don't see you, so that we can encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Hebrews 10:23-25, New Living Translation. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. He had prophesied in the Gospels that things are going to be very rough in this season. We need to encourage one another now more than ever. Be part of a loving and supporting community. Somebody say with me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that I am a child of God. So I declare that I do not belong to the group of people that give up. I will not give up. I will not lose hope. I will not lose heart. I will not lose courage. I will not give in. Satan, I serve a notice on you. You will not wear me out. I will wear you out. I'm staying here, holding on to God's promises till I see the fulfillment of God's promises. God has never lied before. He will not lie on my case. I will see the fulfillment of God's promises in the land of the living. I will not give up. If you believe that, say a powerful amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy on someone that is already discouraged or on the verge of giving up. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, receive infusion of strength. Infusion of power in your spirit and your mind and your soul. In the name of Jesus, every dead dream comes back to life. And where there has been delay, the power of delay is canceled. Sometimes Satan comes at you from every angle, actually builds a siege around a person's life and sustains it like that just to wear you out.